surgical risks for a cleft palate repair and a cleft palate fistula repair are pretty similar. So we're going to conclude both of these surgeries in this section. Now, anytime we're doing palate surgery, we put a retractor in the mouth called a dingman, which is metal. And this can injure baby teeth, especially if they're loose teeth. They can actually get knocked out during this placement of this retractor. There also can be more extensive bleeding with a palate repair as opposed to the lip repair because of the larger surgical site and some raw surfaces that are left after surgery. Now, you'd think infection would be a huge problem because the mouth is really dirty, but actually it's pretty rare. We do give a dose of IV antibiotics at the beginning of the surgery, and oftentimes we'll repeat a couple doses after surgery before your child leaves the hospital. If healing gets disrupted along the incision line, that's called a dehiscence, and typically that's going to happen because of trauma with something going inside the mouth, infection, or just too much tension. If just a small portion doesn't heal, that results in a hole that communicates between the nose and the roof of the mouth, through the roof of the mouth into the mouth, and that's called a fistula. Fistula rates in the literature are anywhere from about 7 to 50%. The wider the palate and the more extensive the cleft, the higher the risk of a fistula. Now, at the very front of the hard palate, just behind the gum line and through the gum line, that's almost never closed during the time of the initial palate repair because there's just not enough tissue. This is the area where a bone graft will be placed, and that's typically done when kids are between about 8 and 12 years of age. Now, we do try to rearrange the soft palate muscles so that they are aligned more horizontally and can function more like a palate that has not had a previous cleft. That being said, usually palates are much shorter in kids who've had a cleft, and the goal of the soft palate is to reach back and touch the back wall of the throat and block off air going through the nose during speech. The balance of air going through the nose and the mouth is what we generally refer to as resonance. So if too much air is going out through the nose, that child will, their speech will be described as hypernasal. If not enough air goes through the nose, that example, a classic example is if you have a real stuffy nose and you have a cold and you sound kind of muffled, that's called hyponasal speech. So most kids with clefts are more at risk for hypernasal speech or too much airflow going out around the back of their palate during speech. They can also have hypernasal speech because of a residual fistula. So that term for hypernasal speech, because things there's just not enough tissue to close back there, is called velopharyngeal insufficiency. VPI that can't be corrected with just speech therapy may require an additional surgery called secondary palatal management. And typically, we don't know if kids need this secondary palatal management till they're probably as a minimum about 3 or 4 years of age. Typically, this type of surgery is done early in childhood, anywhere from about probably 4 to 10 years of age. So we know that there may be a need for further surgery following a palate repair. Now, if they did develop a fistula, the fistula is a residual hole in the roof of the mouth, and essentially we have to kind of redo the whole palate repair in order to make this heal. So if somebody has a fistula, their recurrence rate is pretty significant depending on where the palate fistula is. We may need to delay this surgery and just obturate or use a type of retainer in this area until they're a little bit older. All surgeries performed on small children can result in stunting of their facial growth. This pretty much means your child will, at a minimum, have orthodontics. And in the teen years, there's also a risk that they might need orthognathic surgery or jaw surgery to help balance out their profile.